Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Betting Pros PGA Podcast. I'm Pat Fitzmaurice, joined as always by Bo McBrayer. The PGA Tour goes south of the border this week, and we are going to be previewing the Mexico Open at Vedanta, letting you know which players we're betting and why. We will give you our one-and-done picks at the end of the show, and we're also going to recap the entertaining but also very painful Genesis Invitational for you. This show is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy. You're probably familiar with Underdog's outstanding best ball contests for fantasy football, but Underdog also has golf contests. Sign up for Underdog if you haven't already with the promo code BPGOLF to get your first deposit matched up to $100. Plus, there's a special pick available for you in the lobby. More on Underdog and its golf contest later in the show. Bo, there was a movie back in the 1980s that I enjoyed called To Live and Die in L.A. I think it starred Willem Dafoe and William Peterson. The title pretty much sums up our Sunday at the Genesis Invitational at Riviera Country Club in Los Angeles. Patrick Cantlay led this tournament by 5 shots going into the weekend. Cantlay played sort of an indifferent round on Saturday, going 1 under par on the day. That opened the door for some other people, and it looked like either Luke List or Will Zalatoris might win it on Sunday. Bo, you were very much in on List last week. I piggybacked you and made a bet on him outright at 110-1. I also threw a little something on Zalatoris at 55-1. And List in particular had this golden opportunity. He made the turn on Sunday at, I think he was minus 16, something 15, like that. Yeah. He had a 215, two-shot lead. And then he came to the devilish little par 4 tenth that we spent so much time talking about on last week's show. One of my favorite holes in the world. Not a great hole for List on Sunday. He put it in the one place you just can't afford to put it, a bunker short right, which just makes for an impossible approach. Did really well to get it at the base of the green, but that left a long lag putt. List, not known as a great putter, left that uphill lag putt about 10 feet short and couldn't make the par putt. And it just seemed like that sapped all of his momentum. Meanwhile, Hideki Matsuyama was absolutely cooking. He opened the round with 3 straight birdies. Then just seized the tournament by the throat on the back nine with a 6 under par 30. On the 15th hole, a long par 4, Matsuyama hits his 189-yard approach shot to 8 inches. And on the next hole, par 3, 16th, he hits it to 6 inches. And Bo, I had stepped away from the TV, come back to see what I thought was a replay of his approach on 15. No, it was his approach or his tee shot on 16 that basically finished the same tap and distance away on the same side of the cup. So he, for good measure, Matsuyama birdies the par 5 17th and ends up winning by 3 shots, tying the course record. Bo, your thoughts on the tournaments? Hideki's sublime Sunday, a very shrewd wager on Luke List that just didn't quite pan out, and anything else about the Genesis Invitational that comes to mind?
Yeah, Riviera, the back nine especially, very unforgiving. You had to be precise off the tee especially to give yourself a chance to have a decent approach angle. Matsuyama was masterful. He hit all the fairways. He made some clutch par saves on the end at the end of his front nine that really gathered momentum for that historic, we're no hyperbole at all here, historic back nine on one of the toughest back nines on the entire PGA Tour. And to be 6 under with 3 separate 3-birdie streaks during that final round of 62, 9 under par, one off of the course record. It was a tournament record. It was the lowest final round ever at the Genesis. Unbelievable round. Luke List had all the momentum as he made the turn. He had himself a nice birdie streak on the front nine. Couldn't quite get it all together. He had 3 consecutive 5s after 5 consecutive 3s on the front nine. And it was that was curtains for him. Once he missed a couple fairways, he didn't have the juice. He was struggling to make pars, and everybody else was doing a little bit better. It was just a horrendous finish, especially with how confident we were at the turn there. 110-1 would have been extremely nice. I didn't get shut out though. I had the top 20 bet on Luke List. I had top 10 bet on Will Zalatoris. It turned out okay. I didn't get completely washed out with a disappointing finish, but yeah, it would have been really nice to have 110-1 deposited right into the bankroll. But we'll get them this week, right? Right, Pat? Right?
Yeah, I'm hoping so, Bo. I mean, I did cash in a DFS tournament and, you know, didn't get those outrights that I was looking for, those juicy outrights. One of those would have been really nice. But yeah, I mean, it seems like we're moving in the right direction, though, after, you know, all those long shots that we were just not going to hit. So before we move to the Mexico Open, Bo, let me ask you this about the final Sunday pairing. Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, good friends, Ryder Cup partners, Southern California natives. It just seemed like the stage was set for them on Sunday to have some sort of memorable head-to-head duel, and they wound up as kind of sidelights on Sunday, and it was odd because Cantlay had that massive lead. He was, if you wanted to bet him after his round on Friday, after he had opened with a 64 and a 65, it was minus 165 to bet Patrick Cantlay to win after Friday's round.
Lots of suckers so, made that day.
Yeah, exactly. So things didn't go well for him on the weekend. Schauffele shot a 65 on Saturday to get himself into contention, but then gets off to a real sluggish start on Sunday. No birdies on the front nine, shoots one over. Then he gets cooking on the back nine with a birdie on 10 and an eagle on 11, proceeds to go bogey, bogey, bogey on 12 through 14. And suddenly, after being in a five-way tie for the lead, he was right out of contention again. So my question for you is this, Bo. With the way Cantlay and Schauffele just sort of wilted on Sunday, do you have any qualms about betting either of those guys in the weeks to come?
None whatsoever. And we have to give them credit for, especially Cantlay with his first 36 holes. It looked like if he was able to even just hold serve, which he did relatively well for most of the weekend. He was still in it all the way to the bitter end. But the fact that moving day went by and he didn't make any real strides on the field, in fact, he let them back into a Sunday finish, that was disappointing for him. But I think with both of those guys is they had Hideki Matsuyama a few holes ahead of them post a crazy low number, like an unheard of number at Riviera. That's really what happened is he had that clubhouse lead and they could feel that momentum slipping away. And if you're going to be aggressive on the back nine at Riviera, you better be hitting fairways. Because if you're trying to be aggressive out of that rough or out of greenside bunkers, there's no green to work with on a lot of those shots. They ended up having that aggression turn against them at the very end, just trying to catch up with Matsuyama. I think that's really what happened, is they were forced into a game plan that wasn't what they envisioned for that back nine. And it chewed them up. They didn't finish well because they got chewed up. And I thought Xander had a really good shot once he holed out for eagle from the bunker on 11. But after that, as we saw, he missed the fairways on all three of those holes, missed the greens, and just couldn't scramble. This course is brutally tough if you're not in play. And all the guys except for Matsuyama seemed to really struggle with trying to hold serve with an immaculate round. So all the flowers, all the kudos to Hideki. That's what championship golf is all about. Some guy's going to come out there and win the tournament, and it's up to the other guys to try to catch him. And nobody was going to catch Hideki on Sunday. That was just how good his round was. So I don't have any qualms about the future of Cantlay or Schauffele, because they're both top 10 world-class golfers that are going to be in the mix most weeks.
Yeah, Cantlay and Schauffele, those guys could not have found more sand if they had gone to Venice Beach for the day on Sunday. That was
yeah, they're probably
that was
still
rough.
Shaking it out of their shoes.
Now, we will turn our attention to the Mexico Open at Vedanta in a minute, but first, go sign yourself up with our friends at Underdog, where you can make picks on your favorite golfers all season long. Just pick higher or lower on selected stats for 2 to 5 golfers, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single day. You can also make rivals picks, choosing, for instance, which of 2 golfers will shoot a better score in a round. Golf picks can also be combined with player stats from other sports. So be sure to go sign up at Underdog and start making those golf selections. The Mexico Open at Vedanta will have a relatively weak field bowl. We've seen some very good fields in recent events at Torrey Pines, at Pebble Beach, at Riviera, but a lot of the top players are taking off this week. So the Mexico Open is going to be played at Vedanta Vallarta, a Greg Norman design. It's a par 71 covering 7,456 yards, a rather long course when you consider that there are 5 par 3s and a drivable par 4. So that means a lot of long par 4s and some really long par 5s. I think a couple check in at over 600 yards. On the other hand, generous fairways. Course is pretty flat, the rough not very penal, and conditions should be pretty favorable this week. Temperatures in the 80s, winds under 10 miles an hour, no rain. The greens are past palum. It is a slow, sticky surface. So I don't know. I think the ball kind of sits up on those too. So like chipping probably won't be an issue. Not
it's
a
like
lot of snarly
Velcro.
Lies.
It's like Velcro, especially on approach. If you get too much spin on the ball, it'll spin back for a long way.
Yeah, so maybe this might help the Europeans who are used to those slower greens over on the other side of the pond. Driving distance obviously is going to matter a lot here, Bo. And I think long iron play matters a lot, too, statistically. And yet, a pretty easy course overall. I believe it's the 11th easiest on tour. This is only the 3rd year of this event. Tony Finau is the defending champion. He won this by 3 shots over John Rahm last year, firing a 24 under par. That was his winning score. For Finau, Brandon Wu finished in 3rd, 5 shots back. In 2022, the inaugural year of this event, Rahm was the one who won, 17 under par, 1 shot ahead of Finau, 2 better. It was a 3-way tie for 2nd. Finau, Brandon Wu, and Kurt Kitayama. So we've got some guys with good track records here. Finau, the defending champ, Brandon Wu, a couple of top 3s. Bo, give me your brain dump on the Mexico Open. What stands out to you about this course and anyone in the field?
Yeah, it really is a bomb and gouge type of place that turns into a glorified putting contest because everybody's going to find these fairways. And you're looking at the approach bucket of 175 plus. So where a lot of stat models will break it down 175 to 200 and then the 200 plus. Those both are going to be important. Most of the par threes are in that 175 to 200 range. Most of the approach, I think 11 of the approach distance holes are going to be in that 175 plus range. So yes, long iron or mid iron approach is going to be very important. And of course, short game and putting, there are a handful of holes here that are in the top 50 most difficult on tour. So it's not just a cakewalk. It's not just a resort style stroll around Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It's got some teeth. It's overall easy. You're going to see a score somewhere around 20 under par, which is on the easier side. But again, it's going to be just as important to avoid bogeys as it is to make birdies. And so, yeah, driving distance makes a difference, especially if you're parlaying that with a good approach game.
Now, we'll get to the odds in just a moment, but first, if you want a chance to win a free 1-year premium Betting Pros subscription, you need to subscribe to the Betting Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below in this video, and that's it. We'll be announcing a winner right here on the channel, so make sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and to claim your prize. The heavy favorite this week is defending champion Tony Finau. He was going off at plus 650 as of 4 p.m. Eastern on Monday on DraftKings. Nikolai Højgaard is plus 1600. Emiliano Grillo is at plus 2000. Taylor Pendrith and Steven Yeager, plus 2200. Thomas Dietrich, plus 2500. Torbjørn Olesen, plus 2800. And Ryan Fox, Keith Mitchell, and Patrick Rogers, plus 3000. Bo, we saw Finau turn in an excellent performance here last year. He was in second 2 years ago. Tee to green game, generally terrific, but this is a guy who has not always been a great closer on the PGA Tour. How do you feel about him this week at such short odds?
Well, I think he's a safe bet to be in the top 10, probably top 5. I don't think that he's in the kind of form that it takes for me to really want to bet him at plus 650. Honestly, he's playing pretty poorly overall, for at least for his standards. This field is weak. Tony loves this course. It's like the Mexico Open and the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit are seem to be his two events that he seems to do really well in. But I just can't bet. I can't bet Tony Finau in any event at less than 10 to 1. So skip him. The odds are too short. He's not in good form. I'm going to go right to Nikolai Højgaard, 16 to 1, that 22-year-old Dane. He's got lots of firepower off the tee. Great, great short game. We're talking about if Tony Finau had a short game, his name would be Nikolai Højgaard. This guy is fireworks. He's a rising future star on the PGA Tour, dominant on the DP World Tour the last few years. His brother is actually still doing very well on that tour, Rasmus Højgaard. This is a very talented individual who I think has every bit the talent that it would take to win this event. At 16 to 1, that's incredibly a lot better value than Tony Finau at plus 650.
Yeah, Taylor Pendrith, are you also big on him?
Yeah, Pendrith big hitter. Is number one in my model overall. I don't see any weak spots, at least on the stats that I'm looking at for separating this field into a group of players that I'm going to be drilling down to for my final betting slip. Pendrith, number one in my model, goes a long way. I tried to work it different ways to try to kick him off of that number one spot. It didn't work. He's solid all around, especially off the tee. And when he gets a hot putter, he makes a lot of birdies. And that's what we're looking for this week.
Yeah, how about Steven Yeager? Hits it a long way.
Yeager bombs.
We saw him. So actually, Højgaard and Yeager both did really well at Torrey Pines a few weeks ago, another course that really sort of demands precision and, well, demands length, I guess, off the tee. You're interested in Yeager, perhaps, at plus 2,200?
Yeah, one thing about Yeager is he's not exactly the type of birdie maker that I'm looking for. But as far as talent goes and in recent form, Yeager's in great form right now. So, yeah, of course, I'm going to be looking at him a little closer. Him being kind of the same number as Taylor Pendrith makes it hard for me to favor him over Pendrith. But I guess if I was putting more weight on how well they're playing right now, Yeager would get the nod. I just in my stat model that I start with, Pendrith is by far and away the top golfer overall out of this entire field. And there's a couple guys in this next tier that I would put right next to Yeager myself at better odds.
Yeah, let's run through that next tier. At plus 3,500 are Brandon Wu with his excellent track record here, Erik van Rooyen, Jake Knapp, and Davis Thompson. At plus 4,500 are Cameron Champ, Mackenzie Hughes, and Ryo
Hisatsune.
And at plus 5,000, we have Mark Hubbard, Justin Suh, Austin Eckroat, and Aaron Rye. Do you like anyone from this group, Paul?
I like that whole group. It's going to be really hard to drill down. That group is going to be all in my player pool for DFS tournaments. I'm going to start with Ryo Hisatsune at 40 to 1. Incredibly talented 21-year-old Japanese player. Another guy that dominated on the DP World Tour and Asian Tours as a youngster. He's still a youngster. This guy is a birdie-making machine. And again, these guys that maybe are not household names at this moment right now, they're going to have their moments this season where you're going to see these odds get a lot shorter in future events. And I think that Rio is a big favorite for me at 40-1. My overall favorite at 40-1 is Jake Knapp. Jake Knapp is a monster off the tee. He is a bomber. We're talking the third highest swings ball speed on the tour, 186 mile per hour average ball speed. He can absolutely smash the ball, and he's another guy like Højgaard with an immaculate short game. And right now, his approach game has been on point, tied for third at the Farmers and tied for 23rd at the Waste Management. This guy's got a lot of talent. He's got the flowing blonde locks from SoCal. He's fun to watch, and his moment is coming very quickly. He's already a by far favorite to win PGA Tour Rookie of the Year in 2024.
Yeah, I like that you're touting the youngsters, Bo. We've talked about this with Akshay Bhatia. Like, we're getting a good price before that first win, before that breakthrough. And Hisatsune, 21 years old, I think he's got 4 international wins already. And Knapp is what, 22 or 23?
He's 29. But
he's an older rookie. Okay.
Yeah, he's 29, but he was one of the quickest qualifiers through the Korn Ferry Tour point setup in history. He won 4 events on the Korn Ferry Tour last year and springboarded him right into the status that he needed to play this season on the PGA Tour as a rookie. He's hot. He's hot right now. He's bombing the ball and a really, really good scorer. That's what he's writing right now.
All right. My bad. He's a late bloomer, though. Yeah. So let's catch him on the upswing.
He looks 21. Let's give him credit. He's a really, really handsome guy. So he could pass for 21, 22.
All right. Let's talk long shots, Bo. And I've got a couple who kind of interest me. Two are plus 6,000, 60-1. Johnny Vegas, a big hitter who can get into these hot streaks. I mean, like, yes, it's a long shot without question, but a guy who could conceivably win a tournament if he falls into a groove. Charlie Hoffman, who, wasn't quite able to carry the momentum of the Phoenix Waste Management Open into Riviera, but a really good long iron player. And, you know, like he has played pretty well over the last few weeks. And then Scott Stallings, a guy I just have a weakness for at 80-1, but a guy who hits it a long way. And maybe if he can recapture the magic from like 10 years ago, could maybe find himself in the hunt. What about you? Any long shots capture your fancy?
Yeah, I looked at Johnny Vegas myself. Unfortunately, he has no short game to speak of. He's one of the worst putters on tour. So he needs to get hot if he wants to make some noise here. But Michael Kim at 55-1 is very appealing to me. Second in this field in birdies or better gained, which is the top metric in my weighted model. And then he's also number 5 in this entire field for that 175 to 200 approach distance. So we're looking at a guy who can make birdies. He's great on approach at the distances that he's going to be demanded in on this golf course at Vedanta. So Michael Kim 55-1, and then I'm going young bombers all the way through the long shots. I'm going to do a buckshot approach, some smaller bets on Garrett Higo, the South African. Unbelievably long player. He's also the best putter in this field, which is unbelievable. It's like you wouldn't think that the long hitter guy would be one of the top 5 putters in this field, but Garrett Higo, Ben Coles, kind of a more of a late bloomer like Jake Knapp, not having quite the success as a rookie as Knapp quite yet, but I think that's coming. He comes in really high in my model, and that he's at 130-1. And then Eric Barnes, another young bomber, 180-1. All this talent down the board that I've been excited to watch. I loved watching them all golf on the Korn Ferry Tour or in collegiate golf. Now that they were PGA Tour rookies or they're getting their spot starts on tour at Mexico and Puerto Rico and all these lesser events where the big shots are staying home and they're not flying their private jets out of Florida. It opens the door of opportunity for these guys to make it themselves a household name. So look for all of those guys, Garrett Higo, Ben Coles, Eric Barnes.
Yeah, a lot of young, hungry dudes in the Mexico Open. What do you have on your betting card so far, Bo? Let's run down the list.
So I got outright full unit bets on Højgaard and Pendrith. I have half unit bets on Hisatsuni, Knapp, and Kim with top 20 kickers on both of those. And then top 40 bets on Higo, Coles, and Barnes. And of course, a couple bucks on each one of them to win outright just in case we catch lightning in a bottle.
Yeah, so I wanted to back the horses for courses, but I didn't want to take Tony Finau or Brandon Wu for wins. So I bet Tony Finau top five at plus 180. And I bet Brandon Wu top 10 at plus 360. Figure that gives me a little bit of cushion. Like
odds.
You said, I've kind of the same reservations about Finau that you do, but top five seems like a pretty solid bet. Bets outright on Taylor Pendrith and Steven Yeager. And then small outright bets so far on Johnny Vegas, Charlie Hoffman, and Scott Stallings. Let's get to our one and done picks, Bo. Last week, I took Adam Scott, normally does well at Riviera, tied for 19th. Not bad. Good for $251,400. Bo, you took Max Homa, another guy with a pretty good track record at Riviera, tied for 16th. Good for $329,000. So you extend your lead and you are up first this week. Bo, who do you like? We talked about this, the elevated events. Uh-huh, you had one shot on me and it was worth almost $100,000.
Yeah, one stroke. One stroke means a big difference. And I believe it's the fifth time I've hit six figures in a week. So let's keep the good times rolling. Even though I had I had the honors this week, I didn't want to just go out and take the low-hanging fruit of Tony Finau. I don't feel that strongly about him, but I do feel very strongly about Jake Knapp. That's my one-and-done pick. The young gun, it's risky, it's ballsy, it's probably a little bit cocky, it's arrogant, personified. That's me, but that's me. I'm going to go spicy. I'm going with the young guy that half of these people that are going to watch this show haven't heard of yet. You heard it now. Jake Knapp is going to win this thing, and you can take your Tony Finau pick, and hopefully he pulls through with that top five finish that you desperately need.
Oh, I am taking that low-hanging Tony Finau fruit, Bo, and I'm going to make a smoothie out of it. And I guess I'll be saving Tony Finau for you in the Rocket Mortgage Classic in a few months down the road. So
I already, just like with Homa at Riviera, I was going to play Homa at Riviera, and I'm definitely playing Tony Finau in Detroit.
Well, that is going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank our sponsor once again, Underdog Fantasy. Sign up for Underdog with the promo code BPGolf to get your first deposit match up to $100 with a special pick for you in the lobby. And please come join Bo and I again next week when we will be previewing the Cognizant Classic as the tour goes back to Florida. Until then, so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Betting Pros Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Follow us on X and TikTok at Betting Pros and Instagram at Betting Pros NFL. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/bettingpros.